You're listening to New Mexico Filmworks.
You're listening to New Mexico Filmworks on Talk 1260 KTRC Radio, brought to you by Hutton Broadcasting. New Mexico Filmworks is a program of the New Mexico Film Office, and I'm your host, Dirk Norris. And today on the phone we have Renee Roach and Alan Trevor, both from Roswell. Renee is a graduate of New Mexico State University with a bachelor's in business administration and an emphasis in international marketing and a minor in art. She is the City of Roswell's marketing director and Keep Roswell Beautiful coordinator, and a member of the Tourism Association of New Mexico and the TANA membership committee chair from 2007 to 2011, and currently the Roswell marketing coordinator. And Alan Trevor has been actively involved in photography, advertising, film, and television in New Mexico for the last 10 years. Alan established a film program in Roswell, New Mexico, that serves as a training ground for future members of IATSE. He's also produced number of projects for various companies such as ESPN, Discovery, the State of New Mexico, and the History Channel. Alan produced his newest films in Roswell AM and The Rambler, and these films are scheduled to be released this year. Welcome to you both.
Thank you so much.
So I wanted to start. We're going to be talking about the Sci-Fi Film Festival coming up. But first, Renee, I wanted to to you a little bit about film the tourism event that was recently in Taos, the TANM Governor's Conference on Tourism. And you were up there, and you're pretty involved with the TANM organization, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
And one of the subjects that was brought up is film tourism, and I just wanted to see if kind of your thoughts and if you're doing film tourism things in Roswell.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Well, first of all, we are very excited because our event last year, our Roswell International Sci-Fi Film Festival, won Outstanding New Event of the Year at the TIARA Awards, which is the Tourism Industry Association Recognition Awards, which is really the epitome of film tourism and being able to bring in tourists for film productions that are created within your destination. And so that gave us a great platform to be able to capitalize on that and really start applying a lot of the principles that Don Gray and you guys there at the New Mexico Film Office continually give us education and information on to help us promote our programs and our assets here in cultural and entertainment tourism. So, we are very excited about bringing in more film opportunities. We are embarking on our 7-day shootout, which is going to start this Saturday, where 5 short films that are sci-fi fantasy genre will be created in a 7-day time period and then screened at our red carpet gala on the 23rd at our NMMI Pearson Auditorium, so that we will not only be able to promote all of our assets here in our community in those films and help promote Roswell, but also we're going to be educating media arts students about filmmaking from all the ins and outs, from casting, producing, editing, everything, the works.
It's a very comprehensive festival.
It really is. There's many facets.
Yeah. And before we get too far, why don't you give folks the web address, because it's a long one and it may take a while to get it written down.
Actually, it's just filmroswell.com our web address. And that is where you can buy tickets, you can get schedules, you can get celebrity guest appearances, which is being updated on a daily basis. We just found out that Victoria Price will be here to speak on behalf of Vincent Price on Sunday.
Oh, terrific.
And we just have so many incredible guests that are coming that we'll talk more about here shortly.
Yeah, sure. And Alan, you're the director of the Media Arts Program at ENMU as well. And you pretty much started up this film festival last year?
Yeah, we started it last year to kind of, we always would send our students up to the wonderful Duke City Shootout. And so we kind of, when they weren't going to do that, we decided to take it over and do our kind of twist and spin on it the Roswell way and make it sci-fi fantasy.
Right, and the training program you have at the university is basically an FTTP program where you prepare students to be able to get out and work in the industry.
Yeah, we bring our instructors down. It's a three-semester program, you know, it's fall, spring, summer. And the first semester, they do their training. They learn their different crafts or learn the areas that the Local 480 covers. And then the second and third semesters are really honing those skills and really getting the students to start working in their disciplinary area that they like.
And this usually culminates in making a feature-length film afterwards?
Yeah, that's kind of what we really want the students to do is, you know, do a lot of small projects, get on and do the student film projects, the documentaries, the commercials, the music videos. Then, you know, we'll get a couple of larger projects that come through. You know, we have a lot of, you know, tourism through the UFO stuff, and so we'll get Discovery Channel, History Channel, you know, these Travel Channel groups coming through, and so they'll call up for PAs and, you know, basic grips and, you know, stuff like that, and so we'll put them on, they'll get, you know, 2 or 3 days of training, and then we just do some other community outreach projects, and then we start going into a little bit bigger stuff and getting, short features, small features, where the students get, employment.
Right. And a couple of years ago, you were in Lincoln County. You did The Last Stop.
Yeah. We were down there shooting with Mina Savari, Brian Austin Green, Zach Ward, Joanne Kelly. It was a picture that we got the money for, and it's going through Radar Pictures right now. We're actually doing a couple of quick reshoots on it. It'll be out and finally see the light of day.
Yeah, something to look forward to. And I hope that cabin has made it through the fires they're having up there.
I'm hoping so, too. I haven't had a chance to, of course, when we get through with the festival, I'll probably, take the kids and go up there and check it out.
Yeah. Okay, so this film festival, and by the way, I had the chance to attend the festival last year, and it was really terrific. I really enjoyed it, and there was, some great films that were produced out of that, and a lot of hard work by everybody.
Yeah, it was. It was long hours. Most of these students put in, well over 12 hours. We try to keep it to a minimum of 12 hours, but, they're so gung-ho, and they'll do an extra, an extra hour here and there. The editors are the real troopers. They're the ones that, push 24 Red Bulls and, everything else to get these done. They're kind of, they're frazzled, needless to say, by the time they're done.
What is the purpose of doing it in such a short time and having such a tight schedule?
Well, it is short, but it's definitely longer than the 48-hour shoot.
Yeah.
It does give us quite a bit of time for the students to really kind of put some stuff together. It allows us to make the scripts a little bit longer, sci-fi and fantasy is just really hard too. It's got a lot of special effects, it's got a lot of visual effects, it's got a lot of extra things, and so we try to it gives us a whole other element to really push with the students.
Sure, a whole different aspect that requires that much more time.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And so it's been neat. A lot of the students have kind of created some really spectacular special effects.
Right. Renee, why don't you give us kind of a broad overview of the whole event, because it's 4 days, right?
That's right. So basically, we're going to have an unofficial kickoff at our Pepper's patio. Party on the patio is called a Cosmic Country Cantina, where we're going to be selling tickets and some pre-merchandise at Pepper's Grill and Bar. And then the next day, we're actually sponsoring the Roswell Invaders baseball game, and we're going to have a sci-fi superheroes night. Everybody that comes in a costume, the first 50 in costume, will be admitted for free. Darth Vader and Chewbacca will be throwing the starting pitch, and that'll be a lot of fun. And then we're going to have a happy hour before the game starts, where you can get your face painted by the award-winning face painter Mark Reed. And that'll be at Pecos Flavors Winery, and they'll have happy hour alien draft beers and galactic wines there. And then on Friday, we're actually going to have a masquerade kind of ball, you might say, by Famous Monsters out at the Spring River Park and Zoo, and we'll have ongoing entertainment. There'll be costume contests and prizes. There's going to be demonstrations on how to create a movie costume and mask, and how to do movie body art, and there's going to be so many prizes given away out there. It's going to be so much fun. We'll have the 501st Legion of the Stormtroopers. We'll show the movie Thor on the big screen for everybody, beginning at 9 p.m. at the zoo. And then on Saturday, we're going to have opening celebration. We have invited the Secretary of Higher Education, Dr. Jose Garcia, will be joining us for our opening celebration at 9:30 a.m. to cut the ribbon to the vendor exhibition where all the Comic-Con artists will be and the vendors. And there'll be lots of surprises during that opening celebration. And then all day long, we'll be showing our film showcase, not only in Roswell, but also in Artesia. The films will be shown at the Roswell Museum and Art Center, Bassett Auditorium, and inside the Roswell Convention and Civic Center, and then also in Artesia. And then we're going to be having that evening on...
Renee, let me stop you right there.
Okay.
And we'll pick up with that in our next segment.
Thank you so much.
We got to go, and you're listening to Talk 1260 KTRC Radio. I'm your host, Dirk Norris, and we'll be right back. Listening to Talk 1260 KTRC Radio. I'm your host, Dirk Norris, and this is New Mexico Film Works. My guests today are Renee Roach and Alan Trevor from Roswell. Renee is a marketing director for the city of Roswell, and Alan's the director of Media Arts Program at ENMU. Welcome back, both of you.
Thank you.
So before I interrupted you, you were just getting up to, I think, the gala event the Sci-Fi Film Festival.
Yes, thank you. Our gala event is going to be held again at the New Mexico Military Institute Pearson Auditorium. It's a state-of-the-art performing arts center, and it starts at 8 p.m. We'll have a pre-show from 7 to 8 where you can get your photos with many of the celebrities and characters at that time. During the gala event, there's going to be a special award that's presented by the Secretary of Higher Education, Dr. Jose Garcia, on behalf of Governor Susana Martinez for Outstanding Media Arts. And then after the gala event, we're going to have a VIP after party at Pepper's Grill and Bar. It's called, the theme is Lights, Camera, Aliens. So we'll even have a Martian mariachi band there. It'll be a lot of fun. And then Sunday, the activities continue with our film showcase and vendors and panel discussions, including in Artesia as well. And I will let Alan tell you about some of our incredible guests that we've got to offer this year.
Alan, go ahead.
Some of the guests that Famous Monsters has helped us get in is the executive director of Marvel Comics, Ryan, the Ancient Aliens, Giorgio, the crazy hair guy.
Yeah, right.
he's coming in. We've got Prometheus with Kevin Burns. He's bringing in a bunch of stuff from his launch of the Time Tunnel and the Lost in Space. They're relaunching Lost in Space. And so we've got Will Robinson, Bill Mummy. He's going to be in the character that he's playing Will Robinson for the show. And then we got the guys that are doing the Meteorite Men, Georgioff Nokin. And he's going to be doing. He's going to be reading the Meteorite Mobile, and so it's a lot of educational stuff. Robotech. We've got all the Power Rangers from the different generations. We've got the MUFON guys doing the UFO stuff. We've even got paranormal discussions about ghost hunting and ghost busting and all that kind of stuff. And then we've got a lot of video game companies coming in doing video game demonstrations and stuff like that, and special effects. And then we've got the Stormtrooper stuff.
So this festival is almost like tenfold of what it was last year, in large part to the sponsors you've gotten, particularly Famous Monsters of Filmland. Is that right?
Yeah, basically what we wanted to do is really kind of create a crossover between what has become sci-fi. Roswell was the practical, you know, embodiment of sci-fi back in 47 with the UFO crash and everything.
Sure.
And so we really want to merge the two. We want to bring in the UFO society. We want to bring in the science fiction, fantasy, filmmaking side.
Right, right. You mentioned Prometheus. Have you seen it?
I haven't. I haven't had time.
Yeah, right.
The president
been busy?
Yeah. but Prometheus Entertainment, the president of the company, Kevin Burns, will be down here. He'll be showing and doing stuff of that, but then he'll be also doing the time tunnel and the relaunch of the Robinsons and all that kind of stuff.
Right. That's really terrific. Part of this festival also is the panel discussions. Can you give a little more description about those?
Well, the panel discussions are spread out. We kind of kept everything inside. Russell likes to be hot. And so we kept everything in the air conditioning. So it's in the Civic Center. And then right across the courtyard from the Civic Center is the Museum and Arts Center, along with a planetarium. So we've got a list of schedules and everything that people can then decide, okay, they want to go do Marvel Comics and, you know, talk to Ryan and the guys from Marvel about, you know, Thor, about Avengers, about upcoming releases. We also have got the actual shield and the hammer from the Avengers movie.
And people get to pose with those, right?
They get to pose with it. They can hold them, exactly. Pose with them, take pictures with them. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of the educational stuff. You know, Ancient Aliens is going to be discussing their stuff with UFOs. MUFON along with them. We've got the Power Ranger panels. More time than I have.
Yeah. I was doing some research this morning, and one of our interns said, "Did I hear the Power Rangers song going on?" And I said, "Yes, it's purely research, though."
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're doing all that and getting that set up for the kids.
Right. Do you have a feel for, I'm just interested in what kind of participation you get for panel discussions. And I know this is, did you have them last year?
We had filmmaking panels, mostly the filmmaking panels, and you know we had a good number. We had probably about 40 people in the panel room, 40 to 50, mostly students and local filmmakers. That's one of the things that we're really trying to draw within this is those panels, and some will be lighter attendance, and other ones like the Marvel and the Power Rangers and the Ancient Aliens. Prometheus will be bigger.
Yeah, it's always hard to anticipate how many folks are going to attend. But do you have any idea of the attendance through ticket sales so far?
I don't. I know we're getting a lot of calls.
Oh.
And so we've got a lot of people who are interested. We're doing a lot of giveaways, too. You know, a lot of 2-for-1 coupons and ticket giveaways on the radio and stuff like that from our sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we are really trying to promote this. We really want this to be something that draws in thousands of people.
Certainly, and not that Roswell is unknown, but having this aspect, having the sci-fi aspect, as you were saying, as well as the film festival aspect, I think are two really huge items for Roswell.
Yeah, that's what we're really trying to do, and that's really the vision that I kind of had with it was let's look at how we can merge the two elements, because Roswell's got such a branding. You know, you just say Roswell to it, a telemarketer from India, they know Roswell. There's no question about it. The branding's there. So what is that branding? That branding is sci-fi.
Yeah.
So let's bring the sci-fi industry in.
Yeah, right. You're going to have, we just have a minute or a couple of minutes. You've got a lot of involvement with, and we'll talk about the shootout in the next segment, but I was just going to mention that you have a lot of involvement of students with the shootout.
Yeah. We brought in the different schools, New Mexico State and Albuquerque, it's in CNM and, different area schools around us.
Right. So we can get into, in the next segment, we'll get into the shootout and how all of that is arranged.
Okay.
And Renee, I'm sure you have been busy yourself.
Yes, very. We're trying to, you know, because what's really interesting about, because this is our first Comic-Con event that we've had in Roswell, is that, especially when you involve Famous Monsters of Filmland, we get celebrity guests coming out of the woodworks at the last minute, and so trying to keep up with all of the incredible updates and activities that they're able to bring to the table it really is a full-time job. They have so many contacts. They have so many ideas, and we are just so honored to get to partner with them and bring some Hollywood to Roswell.
Well, that's just job security. We're going to take a break now. This is New Mexico Film Works on Talk 1260 KTRC Radio. I'm your host, Dirk Norris, and we'll be back with Alan and Renee in just a minute. We're back, and I'm your host, Dirk Norris. This is New Mexico Film Works on Talk 1260 KTRC Radio. You can hear this show streaming on by going to santafe.com and clicking on the live stream link. You can also hear this and previous shows on the podcast by going to santafe.com and clicking on the podcast link and looking for Talk 1260 KTRC. And I think santafe.com is also advertising the Sci-Fi Film Festival coming up as well. We have Alan Trevor and Renee Roach on the line. Welcome back.
Thank you.
And Renee, you were just talking about some of the sponsorship and the involvement by folks in this and how much it's really helping the town of Roswell and this festival.
Yes, absolutely. Not only with Famous Monsters of Filmland, who they sponsored our event last year on a lot lower key, but this year they're actually, you know, involved in the marketing and coordination of the event and bringing in all of their contacts like we talked about before. But they have so many contacts, like with Medco Toys and so many of the different for example, Marvel, that they are able to bring in lots of incredible prizes for our awards at the gala event, for the drawings and the costume contest. They're going to be getting all kinds of tchotchke that you couldn't get anywhere in this part of or our neck of the woods, you might say. But Artesia really came on board this year, and to have that collaboration, you know, with another destination, which, you know, they're I guess their tagline is we're the stop along the way. And so we're really capitalizing on that, and they have such, you know, incredible hospitality to offer in Artesia, so we really want to help people to be able to experience what they have to offer as well.
You get people into an area and the more collaboration the better, I think.
Absolutely. And then, you know, of course, we collaborated with Main Street Roswell. They're sponsoring our Movies Under the Stars. We collaborated with the city of Roswell. We, you know, with our lodger's tax revenues, we were able to get some help with funding. And then having that partnership between the city, Famous Monsters, and ENMU Roswell has just been phenomenal.
That's, and with everybody working together, it just makes for a much more enjoyable festival.
Absolutely. You know, what do they say? Three heads are better than one.
So I wanted to ask Alan a little bit about how this all works, and we'll get back to you, Renee, in just a minute. But Alan, with the shootout, This began with a script contest, right?
Yeah, back in the early February, March timeframe, we started advertising on Without a Box and a few other places about submitting your script and the rules that go along with it, and, you know, getting the scripts in and everything, and, you know, what the format needs to be and, you know, what the genre needs to be and all that. And so, you know, last year we had a great selection of scripts. Last year, you know, we had them from pretty much all over the world, and same with this year as well. this year's selection of scripts was more focused. I think a lot of people took away from last year and kind of, you know, what was selected, but also really what, you know, had more time to work on what sci-fi is and stuff like that. So the selection of scripts was much harder this year because we have so many good ones.
And do you have like a panel of judges that do the selection?
Yeah, we have, you know, through Famous Monsters, we have their judges, and we have judges through their contacts, and then we have a couple of local filmmakers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what we do is we have to, of course, pare them down. We get some great scripts that, you know, but they want Michael Bay special effects. They want Steven Spielberg, you know, designs and stuff like that. And we just have to kind of pare those down and say, you know, sure, when we're shooting these with $50,000 budgets, that would be great.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, so we have to pare them down and kind of see, you know, what works and what doesn't. And then, you know, within the rules, and then go down to, you know, what is the good story? What is the sci-fi story that's being told here? Is it a sci-fi story? Is it coming across as a sci-fi story? And that, I mean, that's a pretty, you know, it's a fairly broad category, and it can cover a lot of areas. And so, you know, by no means is all the films about aliens and, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, we were pretty fortunate to get one local writer this year to actually, you know, submit and get selected. We had some regionals. And then, of course, you know, we had some internationals. So this year was a lot broader, I think, within the selection range.
Terrific, and certainly budget is a concern because the cost of shooting is actually a combination of equipment that's being provided by various organizations and money that's being provided through the film festival to do the actual shoot.
Yeah, you know, what we got to do is we got to be careful that, you know, when we shoot, you know, that there's no runaway production. You know, it's, you know, all, and filmmakers know that things happen and there's needs to be contingency A, B, C, and D. And so we really try to work with the producers and try to figure out, okay, you know, what can you do, what you can't do, and kind of bring those different elements, you know, into a focus for them and, you know, go from there. And, you know, this year we have some great cast and crew already developing, and, you know, we're getting students already starting to get ready to come in and, you know, get ready to start shooting. You know, this year is going to be, it's going to be really interesting.
How do you match up the scripts with the film crews?
Well, the scripts, we start from top down, of course. We notify the screenwriter that they won. Once they've been notified that they won, they have the option of directing. If they choose not to direct, they can give us some suggestions on directors.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't have any, we do have a pool of people that have submitted prior to the festival asking, you know, if there isn't any directors, would they direct and stuff like that. So we base them on their resumes and their previous experience and stuff like that to bring in those directors. We also have the producers who then come in and work with the directors. And sometimes these are the actual writers, you know, friends and people that they know.
Sure.
They know the project. They know how this director works or whatever. And so that helps us. And then from there, you know, we kind of give them the latitude of being able to have a certain number of people that they can choose to bring in, like, you know, DP and, you know, an editor, a sound person, certain people they know that they can rely on to get things done. And then from there, really those three or four positions are pretty much it. And then the rest are filled in with trainees, you know, students that are going through the different film programs around the state.
Right. And Doniana County Community College is providing some people as well, I understand.
Yeah, they're being bussed up and with the equipment as well that they are providing us. And so those students have been placed on films. We've got some from CMI or CNM. We've got their students as well coming down from Albuquerque.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a random assortment of students that through various connections have kind of found their way to the projects as well that maybe weren't directly from a teacher's recommendation.
So this is a terrific learning experience for them, working with experienced people and probably a good taste of what real-life filmmaking is like, being under pressure with the time.
Under pressure is key. Yeah, that's one of the things they're definitely having to deal with.
And then I'm assuming there's a panel of judges that view the films and come up with the awards.
Yeah, most of the judges, you know, will be from the actual Comic-Con itself. You know, they'll be here early enough that we've pulled a few of them out from that, and we've got a few others They'll sit and judge the films, you know, and they'll give out the awards for who they thought best actor, best actress, best cinematography, best editing, best special effects. You know, there's an achievement award. The project that came over the overcome the most adversity. Then you know, there's an audience choice award, and so you know, there's probably about 9 different awards that we provide and give out. Of course, everybody's vying for the best picture.
Sure, of course.
Best director and best picture.
And is the prize Thor's hammer or?
Well, we would wish it could be something yeah. cool like that, but no, we've got some one of a kind art. You know, that through some connections with famous monsters, as well as prizes donated like screenwriting programs and some other things.
Terrific. Well, I really appreciate it, Alan, and I just wanted to ask Renee a couple of more things and have her kind of wrap things up here. Renee?
Yes.
Yeah. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So we just got a couple of minutes left. Why don't you run down the dates, the times, and where people can get tickets?
Okay, very good. So everything begins on Wednesday night, Party on the Patio, Pepper's Grill and Bar. That will be on June the 20th, followed by the game on the 21st. And then we have the Masquerade Ball on Friday the 22nd, and the Vendor Exhibition Film Showcase all opens up on the 23rd and 24th, and the gala event is on the evening of the 23rd at 8 p.m. Tickets are available at filmroswell.com. There's 4 different pass options that you can purchase, or you can go to the Roswell Convention and Civic Center, the Roswell Chamber of Commerce, or Pecos Flavors Winery to purchase a ticket. And if you have any more questions or if you have any concerns, you can always call our office, 575-637-6224, or you can email me, Renee@CRoswell, and that's SEE.com.
I know both you and Alan are going to be working really hard, but I do hope you get a chance to enjoy some of the festivities.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this year. I'm hoping not to be printing the program right before event starts.
Right. And I'd say I'm going to try really hard to get there. You'll know I'm there if you don't see me, because I'll be wearing my cloak device.
Yeah, and so Alan and I are hoping to go to some of the parties, the shindigs, before it starts this year.
Terrific. Well, thank you both, and I hope everybody gets out there. You're listening to Talk 1260 KTRC, and we'll be back in a minute.
Some things we don't talk about, rather do without.
La ciudad se llama Duke, Nuevo México el estado.
This is New Mexico Film Works on Talk 1260 KTRC Radio. I'm your host, Dirk Norris, and we have John Armijo on the line, and he's taking us on a trip to the past.
Yeah, I'm calling today's show a potpourri of bits and pieces. I don't know where I'm taking this, but relax, sit back, kick your shoes off, and enjoy the view. Dirk, we get a lot of inquiries from folks here in New Mexico that have an interesting tale to tell from both a historical point and a personal one, but they don't know how to go about getting their story published or turned into a screenplay, and most don't know how a film is structured. But once we tell them about the process of making a film, like putting the story down on paper first, their enthusiasm wanes, and another great story languishes in the mind of the beholder. However, if they have their story written down, we try to point them in the right direction with contact information for literary agents, writers, and filmmakers. One of the best stories I heard was this one. 6 years ago, I received a telephone call from a retired Army officer and 1955 graduate of NIMI, the New Mexico Military Institute in Roswell. He wanted to produce a documentary about the school's polo team that won 2 national intercollegiate championships in 1952 and 1954. And at the time, 8 of the 10 players that participated in both championships were still living, and I think they still are. Ironically, the two alternates who never played in either championship were the ones who had passed on. When the team showed up at Princeton, one of the papers wrote disparagingly that the New Mexico Cadets must have confused the sport of kings with a rodeo. Facing astronomical odds in 1952, they beat Princeton 10-8. And in 1954, still long shots and the butt of jokes, they whipped Yale 13-3. If ever there was a Cinderella story, this was it, and still is. Unfortunately, after bringing the idea to the attention of investors, wealthy polo players, and movie stars, the doc remains a figment of someone's imagination. Interest in the story was revived last year, but it too has faded. In 1951, Stanley Kubrick, at the age of 23, made the second film of his young career in Mosquito, which is over in Harding County. What brought him and an assistant to the village in the northeastern part of the state was a 38-year-old Reverend Fred Stadtmuller. The Reverend, you see, was tired of rough and unpaved roads, tearing apart the undercarriage of his car, blowing out fenders, and replacing tires ripped to shreds as he motored to the 12 churches scattered throughout his 4,000-square-mile St. Joseph's Parish. So he bought a used World War II J3 Piper Cub, wouldn't you? Because the Piper was designed for rugged landings, the Padre bought it on the spot, then learned how to fly and land it in cow pastures and dirt roads. He flew his plane, the Spirit of St. Joseph, from 1945 to 1955. The Padre passed away in 2008. A story about Stadtmuller in Look magazine was Kubrick's inspiration, so he did what any independent filmmaker would do. He rented a car in New York and drove to New Mexico. The rental soon proved to be no match for the dirt roads and arroyos leading to the village of Mosquero, which was still miles away when the car broke down, leaving the filmmakers to hitchhike the rest of the way. The 35-millimeter, 9-minute documentary Flying Padre was shot in 10 days and financed with a $1,500 grant from RKO Pictures. A few years ago, while digging through stuff at the Department of Record and Archives, I came across a letter written by Mary Pickford in 1972.
Oh, okay.
She was 80 years old then. The letter was in reply to an incident that occurred during production of A Pueblo Legend in 1912 at Isleta Pueblo. It goes like this. Regarding the rumor that I and the Griffith Company, she meant the Biograph Company, were almost run out of town when we were shooting a picture there. This is true. The Indians thought we were making fun of them, which of course was not true. They called a town meeting, including the top men of the Indian tribe, and everyone was convinced of our honesty and sincerity, and so they released D.W. Griffith, who had been locked up. End of letter. Dirk, what caused the ruckus was an actor wore a bathing suit under an authentic costume that was sacred to the tribe. They found this offensive and called Mr. Griffith into the consul room, where he spent the entire afternoon defending his position before he and the film crew were escorted out of the Pueblo. If you're interested, a copy of A Pueblo Legend is in the film collection at the State Record Center and Archives here in Santa Fe. Okay, Dirk, time to saddle up.
All right, John.
Name the cowboy's horse. Tex Ritter.
Tex Ritter. Tex Ritter.
Zipper.
No, Zipper.
What was Tex Ritter's famous song?
Oh, I don't know, John.
Do not forsake me, oh my darling.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Remember that?
Yeah.
So there you go, Dirk.
John, thank you very much.
You bet you. See you next week.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Here are a few events coming up soon. Lots of stuff going on. And as I speak, if you're in California and Los Angeles, stop by the AFCI location trade show, booths 429 and 528. We've got half of the film office over there promoting New Mexico as a film location. June 22nd through July 8th is the Currents Media Festival. That's being held at the Rail Yard in Santa Fe. You can get more information by going to currentsnewmedia.org. And as we heard earlier, the Roswell Film Festival, that's coming up next week on June 22nd through the 24th. You can get more information by going to roswell.com. And on June 23rd and 24th in Albuquerque, the Kids Corner Studio is holding a motion capture workshop. You can get more information by going to kkstudio.us/mainmenu.html. And lots more stuff going on. You can check santafe.com. And come back to the radio station or to the show next week. We're going to be doing a contest and got a couple of things to give away. So make sure you listen up next week. You've been listening to New Mexico Film Works on Talk 1260 KTRC Radio. I'm your host, Dirk Norris, and this is a program of the New Mexico Film Office. And we'll be back next week.
Entre la gente mafiosa, su fama se ha propagado, causa de una nueva droga que los gringos han creado.
Adults have the power to stop bullying in our schools. I'm Dennis Van Roekel, president of the National Education Association. Bullying has far-reaching effects, from a decline in academic performance to physical illness, depression, or worse. Help us create safe, bully-free learning environments for all students. One caring adult can make all the difference. Be that adult and take the pledge at nea.org/bullyfree.
A message from the National Education Association.